You know how yesterday we were talking about the fact that this is the 10-year anniversary of one of the weirdest weeks in Will County. And I was talking to Amy Jacobson off the air because she was one of the people reporting on the Lisa Stebbick disappearance, presumably death. Craig Stebbick and all of that was going on 10 years ago. Yesterday was the day that she was reported missing. And so I called over to Amy and said, hey, jump on here for a second with us. You couldn't join us yesterday for scheduling reasons, but you said you had a few minutes today. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Good, John Williams. Good to hear you back on the radio on WGN.
Last I saw you, I think we were at Donna Long's, our one-time receptionist here, sort of induction into some Southside Hall of Fame. Do you remember that night?
Oh, my gosh, that was so long ago, but I do remember it. Do you still look the same, John?
I do. I presume you do, too. Kathy and Judy were us that night. They still do. I haven't seen Donna in the longest time, but that was a funny and strange night. Now you are the co-host of Chicago's Morning Answer on WIND with Dan and Amy. 10 years ago, what were you doing?
Well, I was on my way to East Bank Club, and I got an invite to go to Craig Stebbick's house because I was trying to get him to go on camera because it had been such a long time. So I always remained, you know, had an open line of communication between him and myself, and his sister was visiting from Iowa, and she was at his house with her three kids who are the same age as my two boys. So I decided, you know what, I want to secure my source. You know, I trust them. They're, you know, she's a lovely woman, and we went over there, and there was no pool party. It was just, you know, getting to know your sources a little bit better.
No.
And I wasn't swimming with Craig Stebbick. I mean, we weren't even in the water at the same time. That whole thing was just hyperbole and a gross exaggeration of the truth. But it sold papers, and it got, you know, BBM TV, a lot of hits on their website, like 3 million hits right away, immediately on their website.
No kidding. I was going to say 10 years ago, maybe we weren't counting hits, but they were
no,
then.
They
huh?
were. Oh, yeah, because they touted about it, too. Oh, now I sound angry. I'm not angry.
Well, okay, but so,
you know,
let's back.
This is the most viewed story ever in our history of our website.
So the for those who are unacquainted with the story, and I know you and I don't have a lot of time here, but Lisa Stebbick was a nice mother of a couple of kids living in Plainfield. She was on a rocky relationship with her husband. The divorce papers were going to be served, and suddenly she went missing. He reported her missing, right?
No, he didn't report her missing. Her friends, when she didn't show up for work the next day,
she
worked at the school's cafeteria. Well, that's what piqued police's interest. You know, if your wife's missing, why aren't you calling us?
But didn't he call one of her friends and say, hey, have you seen Lisa, right?
Yeah, he did do that. And he did go to one of the vigils, you know, but he didn't go on any searches. And he just always thought that I'll never forget after that whole thing aired on Channel 2, I spoke with him. And he said, oh, my gosh, they really think that I killed her. And I said, yeah, they do. Okay. So where is she? Did you kill her? And he said, no, I didn't. Amy, I'm telling you, I didn't. Because he would keep a log, because, you know, when people go through divorce, it's never easy. And the day that she went missing, he had received a petition for eviction, which means basically they were asking him to move out of the house.
Sure.
And I don't think that that sat well with him. I mean, who wants to be thrown out of their house? Nobody does, especially a house that they buy. You don't want to be with your kids, too. So he would keep a list in the kitchen of all of her activities, when she would leave, when she would come home.
Wait a minute. Why was he doing that?
Oh, it's for custody. I mean, really, any divorce attorney would tell you to keep the tabs on what your spouse is doing, especially if you're getting involved in custody.
Well, what about this, Amy? I try not to judge people's reactions because we all do, and I hesitate. I won't say I'm good at it, but whenever somebody's on camera and they say, oh, look, they're not acting like the grieving widow or widower, or they're not acting the way they should if their kid went missing, and then we say, something's fishy there. I don't know how I would react if some tragedy befell me, so I hope you don't judge my facial expression on camera one night and judge my guilt or innocence.
Don't get mad at your wife over those emojis, okay?
Having said all of that, Amy, he did not act the way you should or would if the mother of your children has suddenly disappeared. At least that's the way I felt.
At that stage. Well, I think this is what from being a reporter for 18 years, everybody processes grief differently.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, cries differently. Some people don't cry or they hold hands. And, I mean, he had moments, you know, there was one time that I was over there, you know, just talking to him, trying to get him to go on camera. Because he'd let me in the house and he'd let a few other reporters, but everybody else, he just, you know, he didn't trust them. And he was crying. He's like, I don't know where she is. This has been so long. I don't know what's going on. And that was the only time that I actually saw him, you know, cry.
Do you think that he did it?
I don't, you know, it was someone before a grand jury, and they asked me the same question. Do I think he did it? If I had any substantial evidence or any inkling, I would definitely, you know, I would have told the grand jury.
Well, I don't have any evidence either, but do you think, but do you, you know him better than most?
I think it's a possibility, but, you know, of course, everybody's already formed their opinion about it, but I was working with the same investigators who told me that Kevin Fox had killed Riley Fox. For so long, they almost brainwashed me. And because I brought to them this other eBay guy, I said, hey, there's somebody who's crazy right now, and he ended up being the killer. And they poo-pooed me right away because I went to his house with Todd Roberts, photographer from NBC, and they poo-pooed us. Like, this guy's crazy. He's on the roof. He's acting erratic. And he had just been released from jail. And guess what? His shoes were found in the river, too. But no, they said, no, we've got our guy. So it gave me great pause when they told me that they think that he did it. And then they would plant, you know, they would, I thought, make up stories just to try to get him to break. Because one time they said that they found some blood in the back of his flatbed. Well, it turned out to be blood from a deer because he's a big hunter. So, but he heard that, and I think that they were using us to try and to break him to see if, you know, maybe now he'll come forward or maybe now something will happen.
You never felt uncomfortable either in the presence of Craig Stebbick because maybe he did take his wife's life, or you never felt uncomfortable because you thought journalistically this, I'm going to have some explaining to do here.
No, you know what? If he was inappropriate to me ever tried anything inappropriate or tried to hit on me, I would never have gone over there. But he was always a gentleman. I mean, he was not, you know, he just seemed like somebody who was lost and confused and, you know, like, you better get an attorney. Better get a different attorney than your divorce attorney.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing to me that you were having those kinds of conversations with him. I mean, you know, this isn't a TV show about.
I know, but I'm pretty open-minded and basically generally a friendly person. I mean, to me, it's, you know, I've met mass murderers. I've met child molesters just because of the line of work that I do. And I don't know, obviously, if I felt that he was going to hurt me or my children, I would never have gone over there.
And just one last question about that. This isn't why I called, but the fact that you go over there, I guess you had formed a good enough relationship with him, just tracking the story, that you were close enough to him that you would find yourself at his place wearing a bikini at his pool.
John, we call it a two-piece, John.
You had a swimsuit on.
You had a swimsuit on.
And too bad for you, I guess, right, that the other TV station caught an image of that.
But nowadays, if that happened today, I'd be lauded and celebrated. Like, oh, look, she's working on her day off. And look at all this social media attention it garnered. And, oh, our ratings are going to be huge now. But back then, that was different times in journalism. You know, I mean, for 5 years, I beat myself up. Oh, I should have put on that shirt. Or that, you know, that T-shirt or the...
You think that would have changed?
Would that have
changed your career if that day you had on a T-shirt instead of a two-piece?
Heck, yeah.
Do you think about that a lot? Have you thought about her and what happened a lot?
I think about Lisa Stebbick every single day of my life. And I'm a churchgoer now, and at church on Sundays, I pray for her. And I pray for her family because she's got great kids. I mean, I saw... You know, Zach's in the Marine Corps, and Lexi, they're 10 and 12 when she disappeared, so they're adults now. And I think she's going to be a nurse or studying to be a nurse. And I, as a mother of two kids, I mean, I can't imagine ever leaving this earth with that great of a responsibility and that great of a love. I mean, there's no greater love than the love that you have for your children.
Do you have, when's the last time you spoke to Craig, her husband?
Gosh, it must have been 5 years ago. I think, but he moved, and he still lives in the area. So he lives in Joliet.
Yeah.
And I know people try to get him to talk for the 10-year anniversary, and he decided not to.
Probably wise.
I don't know.
You think that somebody killed her?
Definitely.
So it would have been a coincidence then that at the time when their marriage was at its lowest, somebody else took her life.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not laughing at this. It's not funny, but it's absurd, and it's hard to imagine, you know?
Yeah. I know. I said, because have you ever been divorced? I'm sorry.
No, I have not. No, I have not.
Well, after these emojis, you will be. No, I'm kidding. But it's the really the worst time because you're losing. Yeah, I mean, like your whole world is rock. You know, where are you going to live? Are you going to have health care? Who's going to get the kids? I mean, it's really a rough time. And
But you're describing to me.
There's a motive there.
Well, there you are. I mean, not everybody that goes through divorce is a potential killer, but you are describing for me a mindset where you could understand how somebody at their lowest point snaps and does something that they would not otherwise do.
Oh, yeah. When you're grieving, you're scared, you do things out of character. You just
That's no excuse either, right? I mean,
still
did it. You don't get to do that.
Right. And get away with it. I mean, I certainly don't have homicidal tendencies, and I don't think that you do either, but we don't. You know, everybody's have different breaking points.
Well, I'm glad you're up and on your feet, still working in the business, and on this sort of 10 years plus one day anniversary joining us today. Anything else that maybe you want to pass along as we sort of look back on that strange story?
Well, one day I was going to thank Larry Wirt for firing me because I would never know my children if I had not been fired. And I've had the greatest time being, I'm coaching their boys volleyball team, and I'm coaching girls volleyball and basketball at their Chicago public school, and I absolutely love it. So I try to think of the positive, and that's positive.
Talk to you again, Amy. It's nice to hear your voice. Thanks for joining us.
Blessings. Thanks, John.
Yeah, Amy Jacobson over at WIND. It's 2:51 on WGN.